Welcome, everyone. We are here and now, and this is The Holistic Way with Dr. A. I'm Dr. Jean-Paul Lamonte, and hanging out with me today is the amazing Michael. He is my helper, producer, the IT wizard extraordinaire here. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Hello. And for those of you that don't know, Dr. A has a degree in psychology and biology. He attended the Casey Riley School at Edgar Casey's ARE. Became a certified hypnotherapist, and then went on to earn a doctorate at Palmer College of Chiropractic West. And he currently practices in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's been teaching and applying holistic health concepts for over two decades. In 2023, he started the Holistic Research Academy. And today we're going to ask him, what the heck is holistic health? And what does holistic health actually mean?
Right. I mean, you hear this term a lot these days, and with a lot of the emerging, you know, evidence of natural health and approaching the body and really just life in general holistically, it really does beckon the question that we need to define what holistic means. And it simply just means the whole, right? The concept of the whole person, addressing life as a whole. And really at the core concept of this is this, interconnection. You know, that everything in the universe itself, the whole universe, in a sense, is connected, made up of the same atoms. But down to health and healing, it's really this concept of addressing the physical body and the mind and the emotional heart and the spirit. So it's really this body, mind, spirit approach. And, and really at the core of this is this idea of oneness and the interconnection of all things. And so when we really think about a lot of different aspects of life and, you know, how we grow, we really have to view ourselves as spiritual beings. We have to really look at now the emerging evidence of the power of the mind and consciousness, right? And not only our emotional selves and how all of these things interplay and affect our physical body, because we can't ignore it anymore. For the longest time, we've, you know, kind of had this approach of addressing the physical body as, you know, just this biological meat suit full of symptoms. And, you know, then we give them diagnoses and conditions and labels and so forth. But a lot of the time, we're kind of, you know, compartmentalizing things, right? There's so many specialists and, you know, one person looks at the kidneys, another one now at the heart, not necessarily how they interact with each other. And so I think when we really take a big step back and look at how all the different tissues, right, all the different organs and all the cells of the body, they affect each other. And this interaction really addresses the whole body and how everything in the body's got to be coordinated, connected, and in a sense of balance to have this idea of health. And so, you know, the first thing we can all do is, you know, the holistic approach is always addressing, you know, the physical body, all those physical things, all of the organs, all the different components of the body, but then also addressing the mental aspects of things, right? Addressing our emotional triggers around either this condition or the situation. And probably most importantly is what's the lesson here, right? Where's the spiritual growth? Where's, you know, the deeper understanding? So I don't keep having this same pattern, the same cycle over and over again, because I think everyone realizes that, you know, we're all going through these challenges together, right? And so it's not just addressing our body as a whole, but also, you know, our society as a whole, you know, the world as a whole, that we're really just one human species with many, many, many members of it. It's a very diverse array group. But at the end of the day, we're all the same species. We're all simply one whole species. And I think the more that we look at coordinating what's happening in our bodies, we'll also see, you know, obviously the importance, the necessity for our survival of coordinating with each other and our species if we're going to, keep ourselves alive on this planet with all the different challenges that we face. So we can really apply holistic into really all levels of life in this way. I think one thing kind of from the start is recognizing that everyone applies spirituality in their own way, and that each individual, it's up to them to define what they mean as the spiritual aspect of life. It's certainly the spiritual aspect of health and healing. But at the core of it, you know, we all have to address the simple fact that there's all this evidence of life after death, right? And people having these near-death experiences, that the journey doesn't end here, that there's something much, much greater beyond. Right, look at all the evidence of, you know, people recalling past lives and bringing those karmic patterns into this life. And so the holistic approach, you know, really forces us to recognize these components as well, right? And not only this life, the traumas that occur in it, but also healing past life traumas. And you can wrap your mind around it, future life traumas, because ultimately, from the holistic perspective, all time is right now. All time is one, you know, and past, present, and future are all really in that same whole, which is that concept of time consciousness. So you can definitely go a lot of different ways, you know, with this concept, and certainly with this philosophy. But, you know, when we bring it back into the now, into the present moment to address what we're presently dealing with, you know, it really comes down to, the whole approach to life, which is number one, guys, your health, right? Your physical body and taking care of your health. Number two is definitely figuring out a career, you know, an occupation and your purpose. Certainly how you can generate revenue and support yourself and, you know, maybe a family. You know, that's got to be addressed as well. Number three is certainly relationships, right? When we really think about what plays a big part of our health day in, day out, it's our relationships and our interaction with other people. Because again, we're all connected, right? So when you look at those relationships of not only romantic, your loved ones, but also with your family, with your kids, with your coworkers, all these relationships affect us emotionally, and that plays a big part, obviously, in how we're feeling. So number three is definitely addressing those. And, you know, I would definitely say number four, in terms of, you know, addressing things holistically in our overall lives, is really finding your creative outlets. And so much of what I think a lot of folks still might struggle with is finding kind of the inner artist in a way. And there's a lot of different ways you can express this. I would definitely say and argue that sports and athletics is a form of physical art, as well as like drawing, painting, and music, right? But just if anything that just allows you to express yourself. For some people, it's, you know, fashion, design, and such. But we really do have this interesting part of our lives where all of us, you know, we're drawn to this idea of creative expression, actually, you know, creating beautiful things. And if we don't feel like we can express ourselves, oftentimes when we feel very repressed, when we feel very kind of silenced or shoved in the corner, et cetera, I think a lot of that repression can also emerge itself out as, you know, pain, discomfort, dis-ease, you know, eventually maybe causing dis-ease in the body. You know, and so I think holistically, you know, we approach this, it really is the future of how we're going to look at health and healing. Because when it comes to health, I mean, right, you got so much information out there now. You got so many options. And the holistic approach really step back, you know, and says, well, let's put everything on the table. Let's really look at the whole and how everything has its place now. I mean, not everything, right? It's got to have evidence. It's got to have research. You know, if things are fake and phony, they got to get the heck out of here. But, you know, for things that work, and you see these, you know, individuals who apply different treatments and they have these, quote, miraculous cures. Well, it's not really a miracle for that person. I mean, it actually happens. And, you know, one can certainly define miracle in that context. But I think all the things that have evidence, whether it's case studies, cohort studies, or all the way up to randomized controlled trials with literature reviews and peer, you know, reviewed journals publishing it, I think that we really do have to consider that everything can potentially cause healing and also at the same time potentially cause dis-ease. And so, you know, really all approaches have their merit. And we really do have to address, you know, this underlying concept that many different forms, but it's all, again, comes back to the individual. And so when you have this holistic approach, you kind of have everything on the table, but then you ask the person, like, well, what do you believe in? What works for you? What's worked for you in the past? You know, where's your consciousness? Because, again, the importance of the mind and consciousness, because, you know, this concept that we've been developing is as I think, so as I become. You know, when people really believe and look at the placebo effect has just validated this concept that whatever we think about the most and whatever we truly believe in, mind and wholeheartedly, we're going to see those things have a positive effect, you know, 90%+ out, you know, the time. And so I think it really comes down to the individual. And so for people that, you know, are into these kind of therapies and, you know, these kind of treatments, then by all means, you know, versus those that are into maybe more alternative and natural, for example. But alternative and natural, they're getting a lot of evidence and a lot of good research behind it now. So we have to definitely consider all these options as a whole.
So you've recently started the Holistic Research Academy. Can you tell me about that project? What is the Holistic Research Academy? How did that come about?
Well, Holistic Research Academy is really just trying to create a base foundation of, you know, good research and good information to address the, you know, this emerging concept of holistic health. And it was really to create a library. I mean, honestly, you know, I've been always inspired by, especially, you know, reading about, for example, the Library of Alexandria, you know, and I've always been fascinated with, you know, Egyptian alchemy and a lot of those things. And so I always kind of wondered, like, what would a modern day Library of Alexandria look like, right? If you collected all the knowledge, all the sacred texts from around the world, then you were able to bring a place that anybody, everybody could access, you know, with a free library card, by the way, no charge at all. What would that look like? And so I've always been drawn to education. My mother was a teacher, you know, a retired teacher for many years, and that definitely inspired me. And, you know, I've taught at several different schools and so forth. And so I've always been interested in, you know, academia and especially, you know, education that was interesting and fun. So this is what was interesting to me is just collecting a database resource for evidence-based, natural, holistic health. And so, you know, my background, you know, when I got my degree in undergraduate, I went to Wake Forest University as a pre-med student. And at the time, I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon and wanted nothing more than to go to medical school and to help people and be a, you know, a prominent physician in my own field. And unfortunately, in my early 20s, I was having multiple issues with regards to knee and back issues and health. I suffered from asthma for many years and had to carry an inhaler around, had to get allergy shots and so forth. And these things all really helped me and actually had a positive effect. But it was kind of that point in my early 20s that, you know, basically I was in a mid-road place and I was trying to, you know, do distance running and maybe do a marathon one day and just having all kinds of, you know, like I said, knee and back issues. And so just over the years of applying different natural health concepts and just experiencing the results and just a lot of the, actually all these things just gradually went away and definitely improved to the point where, you know, actually currently training for my fourth swing at the marathon and, you know, everything's going very, very well. And so as I was applying these things and starting to get more and more into holistic health, you know, I came across the Edgar Cayce readings. And so that was a huge inspiration for me, my early 20s, and just kind of developing that. So I switched to a major in psychology and got my minor in biochemistry. You know, of course, biology and chemistry, you know, studied for many years. So I really was interested in this body-mind approach. And, you know, at the time, Edgar Cayce was pretty much regarded as the father of holistic medicine. You know, he would give these health readings in which he would address the whole physical body, going through all the different parts of it, with each one maybe having an issue and you know, getting them to work together. But then he would keep going and he would talk about the person's, you know, mental attitudes. He would talk about their thoughts, their past lives, their spiritual ideals and their soul's purpose. And he just really addressed the whole person. And this really inspired me growing up. So I started to get into cognitive psychology and studying unconscious memory systems and how, you know, the body or the mind affects the body in these different ways. And back then we called it psychoneuroimmunology. That was how the mind directly affects the nervous system, especially through the sympathetic, parasympathetic, those autonomic nervous systems, how through the nervous system it affects the immune system. And here you can really start to see a lot of good research and evidence on this bridging the gap and how the mind actually affects the body. And it turns out it affects it in a lot of different ways on a lot of different levels. And so when I was in my senior year, I was doing memory research and looking at how there's an obvious difference between the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the conscious mind. And doing research on explicit and implicit memory systems really solidified this concept in my mind that, you know, even though they're all connected, well, these different levels of mind are connected, they're very separate. And there's different, memory banks. There's different information stored at each of these levels. And that as we access these different levels of mind and memory, we can literally tap into the deepest part of ourselves and really create some profound changes. It's like rewriting the software by going deep, deep into the core programming. And you see a lot of this stuff now in neuroscience and reprogramming the mind and the brain and all the, you know, the different exercises and things that people can do now. A lot of pretty cool options. But, you know, looking back on this, and this was in 2000 to 2002, and doing research in this, again, was really inspiring to me. So kind of the first thing I did was, after I graduated college, was I went to study at the Edgar Cayce School, just get as much information from there. And from there, I met a lot of really cool docs that inspired me. And I can definitely name a bunch of them, and certainly we'll talk about them over the course of these podcasts. But coming out of that point in my life, I just, you know, began to, you know, apply, you know, the different concepts of psychology and learning hypnotherapy, combining body work. You know, at the time, you know, I was practicing massage and myofascial and neuromuscular and got Reiki trained and certified in energy and polarity and craniosacral therapies. And I was just really, you know, studying everything I could in the body work world. Because this is absolutely fascinating because it helped me so much in all of my issues. And I started becoming a regular practitioner of yoga, meditation, and applying a lot of these holistic health concepts. And just the amazing difference and the amazing healing that I experienced, I wanted to study it and, you know, I wanted to start to apply it. And I've just been very fortunate and I'm very grateful and the blessings of being able to do that. And I, you know, eventually went to chiropractic college and it really was kind of this 12-year journey of collecting all the different degrees and licenses and certificates and, you know, insurances and so forth to really have what I finally felt was a holistic clinical practice and being able to address all these different components of not only the physical body with what I've developed combining manipulation and the soft tissue work, but also the aspect of the mind and also the aspect of nutrition and you know, addressing the diet and such, and being able to really, you know, help people in a variety of different ways. And so as I've been kind of applying these concepts, I really decided, you know, it was time to just start this Library of Alexandria. And I always had this this vision in my mind of this beautiful academy, you know, by the waterside. And of course, here we are in Virginia Beach, kind of living out the dream and the place I always wanted to practice. And funny how, you know, I came here and grew up here and spent a lot of time here. And I just keep coming back to this area. But yeah, here we are. And after years of clinical practice, I'm really happy to say that, you know, I'm still going strong and probably will be for at least a little while. But in the meantime, you know, this is the inaugural episode of we're kicking this thing off where we're trying to share and build this library, build this academy of natural holistic health information that can help people, you know, body, mind, and spirit. And so, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, the Library of Alexandria and how, you know, I would kind of build this thing and collect this thing, obviously in the modern day, it's going to be what, on the internet, you know? And so starting with the website and just gradually building this hub, and hopefully one day to interconnect with other like-minded practitioners and providers so that maybe one day we can create a worldwide network referral base of, you know, any doctor or therapist who really is open, right, to not only to their concepts, but anything that has, you know, evidence based behind it, good, you know, and good methods, certainly. So yeah, if we can build this, you know, worldwide interconnected natural holistic health practitioner list, that would be amazing. You know, and that would be definitely the big picture goal and ideal here. And this academy would certainly be a good start. And so I remember when, you know, right around the pandemic or so, you know, I really, you know, obviously we were all going through changes, and the business that I had at the time, I closed it down and, you know, started working full time for Edgar Cayce's ARE. And, you know, I was in deep meditation. And, you know, when I was thinking about, right, this library, this academy and so forth, and all of a sudden I just had this really cool vision that was completely natural, by the way. and just, it all kind of came to me. And what came to me was just seeing the human body and all the different organs and all the cells, you know, illuminated, you know, radiating perfect health. And, you know, at the center was the heart, right? And the heart, as we now know, is really kind of the electromagnetic center, right? It's the engine, it's the pump. It's got more electrical activity and magnetic force than any other part of the body. And so I was drawn to the heart, and as I'm kind of zooming into the heart and seeing the heart and the energy kind of moving through it, all of a sudden out of the top of it started growing this tree. And this beautiful, strong, you know, healthy, vibrant tree was growing out of the top of this heart. And as that tree was growing and blooming and blossoming and kind of reaching its branches out in all directions, you kind of see this flow, this kind of life force energy, like a liquid, you know, like water. And, you know, the water began to just condense at the base, the bottom tip of this heart, and began to kind of drip out, kind of one so slitty, very rhythmic drip at a time, that was landing in this pool of water, that as each drip hit the pool of water, it would create this little ripple, right? And so these waves and these ripples from the heart center were going out, right, kind of infinitely in all directions. And so as I'm kind of slowly zooming into this, you know, and kind of observing this, you know, I'm kind of approaching the tree, you know, coming out of this heart, as this, you know, kind of the scene. And at the base of the tree is this door. And as I approach it, it's like this ancient door, right? Something you'd see out of, like, you know, the elves out of Lord of the Rings or something. And it's got this like sacred writing that, you know, couldn't even recognize. But it looked really cool. But the door, as, you know, kind of slowly start to approach it, didn't have any handles or any way to open it. And so I kind of realized that this was the academy, right? And the storehouse of knowledge is ultimately within us, right? Within our own heart center. And that from the heart is kind of growing this tree of knowledge. And, you know, for those of you that are familiar with the concept of how, you know, the sacred tree of knowledge was hidden within the earth, it kind of occurred to me that this was, you know, the explanation of that allegory, that it's within the earth, meaning each and every one of us contains this tree of knowledge. And understanding that as we go within ourselves, especially, you know, not in the mind, but within our heart center, we can access this. And so kind of standing there before the tree, wondering like, how the heck do I get into this thing? As soon as I thought that, and as soon as I kind of had a question of like, well, how do I do this thing, or what's the purpose here? As soon as I posed the question, all of a sudden, I was inside the tree, like just like immediately pulled in. And it was like understanding that you kind of, you know, just passed into the door. Like there wasn't a way to open it. It was, you know, you kind of had to use your consciousness to think your way into it. And just as soon as I thought about it, I had the question, I was, you know, all of a sudden in this tree library, and it was just amazing. And all of a sudden it was like the tree was this huge, gigantic inner structure. And inside the tree was this spiraling staircase of books. And I mean, everywhere, ancient books. And as you kind of looked up, there's this like bright white light at the very top. You can't see the top of this tree, but all the branches that are going in all different directions. And each of the branches had spiraling staircases with books and so forth. And these kind of staircases kind of went in all these different directions. It's like this combination of like, and yeah, I'm a nerd here, but whatever, I don't care. Like, you know, Lord of the Rings meets Harry Potter, you know, in that library where they have just all these ancient knowledge texts and books and scrolls and so forth. I mean, that's what it was. And so, you know, some people might call it like the Akashic Records or Akashic, you know, whatever, or the Tree of Knowledge within, like there it was. And any question, you know, that I had, all of a sudden I just felt myself kind of floated in that direction into that branch of knowledge, and the book would just kind of come out, and all the books, all the writing on it was like kind of these like bright illuminated letters, almost like they were glowing but slightly burning, you know, as if you could imagine like the flame from a lighter, but very, very light. It's obviously not like burning the pages of the book, but they're slightly illuminated and slightly, you know, kind of flamed. And it was such a cool experience and, you know, really, you know, interesting place to be, obviously, because any question that you had, you're immediately drawn to the source to tap into that ancient knowledge of not only past lives, but you connect to all lives, right? All experiences, it's kind of downloaded within this part of ourselves. And as I was kind of floating around through this tree, you know, academy or this tree library, you know, the spiral staircases were obvious that it occurred to me that this was the DNA, right? The spiraling helixes, the staircases of stored information within us. And that, you know, the concepts of, you know, all these ancient things of information within the tree of knowledge, the Library of Alexandria, like ultimately this is all stored within ourselves. And that probably the biggest bridge to build and cross for humanity right now is learning how to reconnect to this inner working and this inner knowledge that we all have. And so ultimately, you know, the Holistic Research Academy is about gathering natural holistic information, but it's also about creating methods, creating, you know, techniques, ones that are verified and actually work, to help people really go within themselves and start to gather more information from within self, along with outside self, right? Because we're so externally reliant, right? So, I mean, anytime there's a problem or an issue, we look outside of ourselves kind of automatically as a culture first, like, who do I need to go to? What thing do I need? You know, where do I need to go to fix this problem that I feel with inside myself? Which, you know, obviously the answers, you know, go within yourself, go inside yourself, and you'll get a lot of good information there too. And it's not that we shouldn't do things outside of ourselves, but there's got to be a balance, right? We've got to balance like the access of resources within as well as without. And this comes back to this idea of left brain, right brain, right? The idea of inner alchemy comes about when we can use not only the analytical, you know, aspect of our right brain, or excuse me, our left brain, but balance that with our right brain, which is the kind of creative, intuitive, and so forth. And it comes back to those concepts of as above, so below, which you usually hear in alchemy. As without us, so rely within us. And same concepts with regards to balancing the left and the right. So, you know, that experience, kind of that little vision inside that tree library, really was where it all began. And after that experience, you know, I came up with the concept of the heart tree and the meaning behind it and exactly, you know, what it means. And right, that was like back in like 2019. And so it took me another 4 years just to even develop the concepts of what are the different sources or forces of natural health that we all have access to within us. But also, you know, what are the different purposes of life? You know, what is, you know, in my perspective, the basic framework to start a holistic academy that's based on research, it's based on evidence. And again, we're not talking just about peer-reviewed, you know, randomized controlled trials, because again, that's very, very left brain dominant, right? But also trust research that's well done, that has to do with intuition, that has to do with now psychic abilities. Because, you know, that's the power of consciousness. And that's what we're trying to awaken is our own inner intuition. Because as we develop that, and as we learn how to reconnect, to access that information within ourselves, to access that inner healer, I mean, we're going to be amazed at the healing that we can do to ourselves and the information we can extract from those parts of our body to get insight into what we need to do and what we need to stop doing, you know, because ultimately we kind of are our worst enemies in creating unhealthy habits. But also, you know, literally just like you would sit down a child who's upset and just ask it, you know, and understand, what do you need? Like, what can I do for you? And so forth. We can apply those same things to ourselves. And if we can do it holistically, then that's the goal.
So let's talk a little bit about things that we can do, techniques. Because if I'm new to this world, then honestly, this can all seem a little overwhelming. It's a pretty vast topic, and I might not know where to start, you know? So what are some simple things that, you know, if I'm just getting into holistic health, that I can start doing right now to get involved?
Well, I love the way you asked that, right now, because now is ultimately all we have. And I would say that just start with thinking about your physical body and the mind and what's going on emotionally and just addressing, you know, what is your, you know, the spiritual purpose here? What is your ideal? And so it kind of starts with that and just recognizing that and then just go through each of those things. So, you know, one of the simplest things that we can do is just write it down. I mean, just start journaling things. I think one of the best ways to start to get insights into what was going on is I just started, you know, journaling not only, you know, what my intentions, what my purposes were, but also, you know, creating dietary journals to look at the things I was putting into my body and how those affecting, and dream journals. When I started to tap in and be able to record, understand, and apply my dreams, it was like a whole level up, like multiple kind of levels up, so to speak. And so any question that you have, you can incubate, you can actually use your dreams. It's a free source of information, you know, do it every night. And I know some people say they don't dream or they have a difficulty time. There's certainly different techniques and upcoming podcasts we can address that. But just start writing things down, you know, write down your goals and, you know, create a vision board, you know, think about what is it that you want? Like, start with that. What is the physical health? What's the fitness that you want? You know, what kind of mental health? What is your consciousness? What's that like if you're healthy? And just start to just focus on that. You know, what is your emotions and so forth and such? And so I think when we kind of start just kind of, you know, literally thinking about, speaking about, and then literally writing down, because when we write things down, we take our mental energy, right? We take those, that consciousness, that form, and we literally transmute it or put it into physical reality. And so write down, what is your ideal health physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? You can, in fact, very simply just draw a big circle, and in the middle of that circle, draw a slightly smaller circle. And that small circle, like just write down your mission statement. Like, in this chapter right now in life, what's your purpose? Like, what's your big picture goal? What gets you, like, why do you want to be healthy, right? It's one thing to kind of want to be fit and healthy, but what are you going to do with that? You know, how are you going to create a positive impact in this world? And so just in one or two sentences, in the very center, that small circle, just write that down. And then around that circle, just draw, you know, a line going north to south and then one going east to west. And you got four quadrants, right? And just write, one's physical, one's mental, one's emotional, one's spiritual. And then so then, you know, define that, you know, that ideal that you just set, that life's mission statement, that big picture goal. What's a physical component? So what are you doing physically every day to get there? And same thing, do that with the mental. What in the emotional and the spiritual. So, right, what are simple things people can do? Well, number one, physically, move. You move it or you
lose it.
Man, oh yeah, use it or lose it. Guys, the body is meant to move. If you look at everything in life, it's the first thing you know that something is alive is it moves. Otherwise, it's a freaking rock. It just sits there, right? So the first thing we see as a sign of life of animals and even plants is they move. There's a concept of movement. And so we've got to move. We've got to use our bodies, number one. And it's got to be something you enjoy doing. Guys, if you hate going to the gym or you hate doing this or that, like, it can definitely, you know, challenges, or it can definitely make you grow mentally and spiritually or something, but you got to do things and you got to move that brings you joy, something you will do on a consistent basis, because research shows that whatever you do on a consistent basis has the biggest impact to your body and your health. And so, you know, what it really comes down to is moving, eating right. When that, you know, and again, we're going to have future podcasts on diet, nutrition, all those things. But again, just define what works for you. I mean, God, look at all the diets that are out there. And if there was one right way, we'd all be eating the same thing, but we don't. So you got to find what works for you. And then definitely, you got to get enough sleep, folks. You know, you've got to move. You've got to put good stuff in your body that works for you, you know, and keep the bad stuff out as best you can. And you got to give yourself rest and you got to allow your body to naturally recharge itself. And, you know, if it really comes down to those things, just as a beginning to your physical body, and just take care of it. I mean, it's amazing to me, you know, the frequency in which people take their cars to get service, oil change, and tune up, but they rarely take their own bodies in to also get maintenance and tune up. And I mean, you can change your car at any time you want, but you only get one body. And so, folks, you better take good care of it, and you got to maintain it.
Okay, so I really like that analogy of sort of your body as a vehicle that needs maintenance. And I feel like a lot of people are talking about natural health and preventative health. And can you tell me a little bit more about the role of prevention and preventative health in this greater realm of holistic health?
Yeah, I think prevention is, you know, not only a key component of holistic health, but I think people are just realizing more and more that it's really the key to solve the current crises in modern healthcare. Because when you really look at the healthcare system, and folks, let's be honest, it's a profit-based model. And I don't say that to warrant any reaction or promote this, but let's be honest, you know. And when it really comes down to saving money, saving costs, and how do we keep costs low, is through prevention. So much of the big expenditures come when we're already in like end stage disease, or we now need emergency level care. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, accidents happen, and I'm so grateful for all the emergency level cares that we have. But, you know, aside from like these severe traumas, you know, we should be preventing a lot of these chronic diseases that are just, you know, causing so many issues that honestly, it just creates such a cost burden on the system. And so, you know, as many people know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think we see that in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, the ways of prevention I think, really go back to, you know, in fact, the days of Louis Pasteur. And when I was doing my studies in my undergraduate, I remember doing, you know, all the research on the germ theories, you know, of Louis Pasteur. I mean, that's where we get the pasteurization, right? And, you know, kind of cleansing things. But I was fascinated by the individual. And I went back and read in his own works and his writings that, you know, he published the germ theory, you know, at a certain point in life. And then he just kept doing research and years of more research. Eventually, he realized that if you keep the terrain of the body healthy and imbalanced, the body itself would be able to prevent most, if not all, diseases, would be able to prevent and heal itself, preventing different conditions from arising, and would be basically good to go. And so what a lot of people don't realize is later on, Louis Pasteur published the terrain theories, saying that if you focus on prevention and just keep the body in an ideal, optimized, balanced state, folks, you won't have to worry about a lot of these things. And, you know, and I know a lot of from his theories, you know, we've developed modern day inoculations and vaccines and so forth. And don't get me wrong, like, again, holistic view, everything has its place and everything has, you know, valid merit. But, you know, when you really look at not only how you prevent a lot of these things from happening, and I can really save yourself a lot of cost and obviously literally headache in the long run, is keeping your body healthy. And again, the holistic view is it's not just the physical terrain, the physical body, but also, you know, the terrain within ourselves, you know, mind, emotions, and spirit, et cetera. But right, like, you know, we were talking about keeping the terrain of the body healthy just simply comes from keeping the fundamental pillars of the body in good health and shape. So we ask ourselves, okay, so what does that mean? What do I need to keep and focus on in order to prevent a lot of things? And the number one thing for prevention, I can tell you, is regularly detoxing and cleansing the body out. Look at the organs of elimination and just start there. Just keep those things functioning and, for lack of a better word, flowing. And when we think of how we eliminate things out of the body, number one, largest organ, obviously the skin. We can sweat it out. So doing things that help us to sweat on a good regular basis, exercise, you know, hot showers, baths, sweating, you know, very, you know, obviously it's good for you. Keep yourself well hydrated, of course, you know, whatever your body weight is in pounds, folks, make sure you're drinking at least half of that in ounces every day. And it really just helps to flush out the water fluid in the body. Next organ, obviously, would be your lungs. You exhale, as we said, expire, you know, you're breathing things out. And so practicing breath work, especially outside, outdoors in the fresh air. Another organ of elimination is obviously bathroom code number one, the kidneys and the bladder. And so keeping yourself not only well hydrated, but using different juices, herbs, teas, vegetables, fruits, all those things that help to cleanse the kidneys, that cleanse the bladder out, all those, a lot of good options out there. And then, of course, next one is bathroom code number two, which is, folks, you need to be having a regular bowel movement every day. Like when I'm doing a lot of distance running and training and so forth, sometimes I'll have three a day. So you got to keep, literally, you got to keep all that crap, you know, out of the body. And so keeping regular bowel, healthy bowel, and good, healthy gut flora is definitely a key here with all the emerging evidence of keeping a good, healthy gut microbiome, keeping regular, healthy bowel movements. Those are the organs of elimination. Now, there is a fifth one, and of course, that's the oral cavity, right? For example, like the stomach. You know, we only use this one in case of emergencies because we don't typically want to vomit things up on a regular basis, but there's different cleansing and detoxification routines that do have to, you know, have to do with cleaning out the stomach, but also the salivary glands. We can literally also spit things out. And so things like oil pulling and so forth have some good cases and even some good cohort evidence that's emerging that, you know, doing these practices, you know, may help detox the body and clean it up. And so, if you just address all those different parts on a regular basis and keep them functioning and eliminating stuff out, like, you're really going to have, you know, a good leg up on preventing a lot of disease. But, you know, the cornerstones of prevention is keeping good eliminations. Number one, keeping your body relaxed, right? The balance of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous systems, right? The fight or flight and the whine and die. We find that it is stress, right? That stress, chronic stress over time really wears down the body. And as we learn how to deal with stress in this fight or flight, you know, side of the nervous system, we really find that that also helps prevent a lot of things, because a lot of things are connected to what? Chronic unresolved stress and tension in the body. And so, you know, going right into one of my favorite things, which is, of course, good professional body work, getting adjustments, manipulation, massage, all these things. It affects all these things. It helps flush out the skin, the organs, affects your circulation, lymphatic drainage, helps relax the nervous system, all those things. Good abdominal massage helps things moving along for sure. And so if nothing else, just get a regular tune-up. Just get on a good therapeutic massage table, but whatever techniques work for you, but just do it on the regular, man, at least once a month. I think all of us should take at least a couple days just to cleanse, you know, whatever that means for you. Just clean the body out, give it a good tune-up. And of course, on a regular basis, you know, we should be moving and exercising in a way that feels good for all of us. And again, find what works for you. Try some things out. You know, obviously, a lot of good research on massage and manipulation and acupuncture, acupressure, all these different forms of body work, energy work, etc. All kinds of good research on, you know, the benefits of keeping your skin healthy. I mean, that's the largest organ of the body, and that's where it starts. It's what everyone looks at. So take care of your skin. Because really, your physical body, guys, it's just a shell. It's just a vehicle. You know, what I call just the body suit. I mean, you're a spiritual being here for a human experience. And your body is just a body suit. It's just a shell that you temporarily have. But you might as well take good care of it, because the functioning of our mind and consciousness is directly dependent on the health of your physical body suit, right? So tune that thing up. It's like an instrument. You know, when instruments are out of tune and they are left to rust and rot, and, you know, I mean, they sound awful, don't they? And that disharmony, I mean, nobody wants to hear it. I mean, a band out of tune, you know, you're going to be, everyone's going to leave the theater before you're even done with the first song. So yeah, your body suit, folks, is the same way. You got to tune it up like an instrument, because when you do, it can play some of the most beautiful harmonies and it can do some of the most amazing things. I mean, I'm just amazed at the degree of what I've been able to accomplish in my own right. When I start to think about it, it's kind of daunting. You know, I never thought I'd be able to, you know, swim across the Hudson River with a bunch of Navy SEALs and accomplish, you know, complete an Ironman triathlon, and do, right, multiple marathons and Spartan races and climb mountains and all these things. I mean, if you had told me I would have done those things 20 years ago when I was having a lot of these issues, as I, you know, we talked about earlier, like, it would have been, I would not have believed you at all. But over the years, just gradually, consistently applying these things, I've been able to basically tune this thing up to where, I mean, just, I mean, the workouts and just what it's able just to do is awesome, you know, and it, that ultimately, that's what it's about, is feeling good in your own body suit. And so, you know, just doing things on a daily basis that are going to help tune up that physical body suit. So, you know, once you've got the physical body, you know, and good daily habits practiced, you know, probably as, or I would say and argue, more important is the mind, because, you know, we have all these thoughts that go through our mind every day. And the most important conversation is the one we're constantly having with ourselves. And a lot of irritations and frustrations and things, they all come from within, right? And this internal dialogue that we're constantly being subjected to is so much of, you know, source that shapes our reality. So why not take control of that thing? You know, I think a lot of us, you know, don't realize that with regular daily practice, we can control that mind. And it's kind of this, you know, daily internal struggle, but it's very possible. And so one thing that we all can do is take time every day to meditate, just to discipline the mind. Same way you train the physical body to, you know, do things. You can also train the mind to also do things. And it's amazing what a clear, tuned up, focused mind is able to do. Rather than constantly being subjected to this continual stream of thoughts, all of a sudden you're directing those thoughts into what you want, things you want to manifest and what you want to attract in your life and things that you enjoy thinking about that are positive, you know? And so taking time every day to meditate, taking time every day to pray, you know, whatever your spiritual or faith, you know, based in, just have something, just define to your own self what it is to be spiritual for you, but do something on an everyday that just is spiritual, that reconnection back to this concept that we are interconnected with everything in this universe. And if you haven't had that experience yet in life, I do slightly pity you. And you don't need to be on drugs. You don't need to go this or there. You need to go within yourself, because there is a very, you know, strong, loving part of yourself, a place of unshakable peace and, you know, and just excitement that is there. And you just have to tap into it and start to access it and literally forge this path, like sometimes feels like through a wilderness. But the more we travel those paths, as we all know, ruts often travel, they grow very deep, right? And now we can say, you know, neurologically in the brain and in the heart, the more we fire certain neurological patterns by thinking certain thoughts, that becomes hardwired into our consciousness. And that's how we're able to attract and manifest the things that we want in life, is by thinking about them. So take time every day to just step out of the flow and just observe your thoughts and realize that you're not your mind. You're not the thoughts. You're the big I am that I am that's observing the mind, that's watching like a little river constantly flowing by. You're watching that stream of water, that river flow by. And so just take time every day to get out of the flow of the mind and just observe it and realize that as you can start to slow it, still it, and stop it, and find those gaps and those moments of just stillness and silence. I mean, heck, we're so bombarded with overstimulation, we need some freaking silence in our minds, in ourselves. And it's so healing. As they say, you know, silence is golden. So if you want to transmute yourself to gold, start with silence. We could say silence and stillness goes a long way. And you know, it's hard at first, right? Let's not kid ourselves. Much easier said than done. But you know, I promise that with regular practice, those brief little moments of silence, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and longer. And eventually minutes and maybe hours, maybe days, maybe heck, the rest of your life, you know? And so when we think of a lot of the great sages and, you know, yogis and monks and all of these great abilities, what is their greatest ability? It's the mind. It's the development of consciousness. And they are extremely mentally fit. But why not all of it? Why not be physically fit and mentally fit and emotionally fit and spiritually fit? Because that's the holistic way. Is being able to address ourselves. And it's not a lot. It's not hard. It's simple things. Like I said, we can do every day. So take care of the physical body, practice mental discipline, whatever form that is for you. Even just 1 minute, start with one simple minute, and then just 10 minutes every day. And sometimes the timing can be perfect. You know, that's why I say, you know, right when you wake up, you know, get up early and just take a few minutes of silence before you touch the phone, before you check the news. Take 10 minutes to yourself and just breathe and just calm the mind and find that moment of stillness and then set your intention and be very clear and be very firm, solid, and strong about what it is that you want to create today, what it is that you want to create in your life, and what it is, you know, the big picture that you're trying, you know, where are you going? Because if you don't know, other people are trying to tell you where they think you should go, right? So, you know you, know thyself, and know your direction. And then the next component, obviously, what we can do every day is check in emotionally. And I know this is very tough, and this is a conversation we're definitely going to have a lot more in the future, but it's about developing a healthy emotional language with yourself. And this has been very difficult, being a male in this culture, you know, and what it means to be masculine. And what I like about this dynamic is here we are two guys, two dads, and we're going to be talking about emotional health. And I think it's very important, especially for men in this culture, to find, you know, a strong connection with your emotional self and be able to have an honest conversation about, you know, things that have happened in the past, things are happening in the present that can trigger us emotionally, and to make peace with that. And one thing I was very inspired by is the warrior's path and the warrior's journey. And it really begins from the heart. And according to not only shamans, but, you know, the alchemists and so forth, there's a lot of emphasis on the path of within ourselves. And like I said, you know, the whole thing of Holistic Research Academy starts with the heart. And the heart-centered, you know, heart-minded, the heart-mind connection is so important, because that's where the power comes from. That literally, your biofield electromagnetic field force comes from our heart. And when we're balanced, when we're connected, and when we feel strong and healthy in our emotional heart center, again, that's where our power then comes from. And so we definitely need to take time every day. And if nothing else, just take a moment of honesty with how you're feeling. I mean, that's it. Like, just how am I feeling and where is this coming from, right? And just like that tree from the heart, that's where the roots grow, right? The roots coming from our heart center, because ultimately how we feel about things dictates how we're going to think about it, right? And it's going to immediately, therefore, influence through the nervous system, as we said, but now through the endocrine system, because, you know, we can identify that we secrete hormones. So, I mean, just millions, maybe trillions of hormones based on how we're feeling. And the different emotional states will create different hormonally shaped chemicals that will then affect every cell, the whole body, differently based on the emotional experience that we're having. So it's not so much important, it will, you know, as what we're thinking, which is very important, but it's more importantly how we're feeling about it. And as, you know, I learned through, you know, years of practice in yoga, it's your state of being. And the practice of yoga is ultimately that of the mind. You know, it's not just going through stretching routines, which is nice and the asanas help and all, but it's about, you know, developing the mind and developing, cultivating just how am I being in the present moment. Just be mindful of that, because when you can start to really have power over your feelings, you know, and not just reacting to it, but now you flip that script and now you ask, how do I want to feel? How should I be feeling? You know, what is it that I'm trying to create? And how can I feel to create that? And so as we're able to start to direct that powerful energy, you're going to really find electromagnetically is how we literally attract things. Because when we think about what is the ultimate role of the heart, well, it's a blood pump. I mean, it would be real simple, just sheer mechanics and engineering. It's a giant pump and it's an engine to move blood. And what's at the heart of every blood cell, folks? Iron, one of the most sensitive magnetic elements. And you just have trillions of these little iron floating filaments in this sacred, you know, watery-based, you know, blood, all these liquids, you know, that's magnetically sensitive. And that, therefore, is the physics to explain how we're feeling will now electromagnetically attract others feeling the same way or bringing others who need healing and so forth. And so as we're able to, you know, just develop that emotional side of ourselves, again, you'd be amazed at the healing that can take place and releasing past emotional patterns. And ultimately finding forgiveness and finding peace within ourselves, and therefore then peace and forgiveness with other people. And the last and simple component is obviously the spiritual. So simple things every day, right now, for your physical, then for the mind, then for how you're feeling, and then simply the spiritual question is, you know, what's the lesson in all this? And, you know, it's like, Lord, what is the universe? What is God? Just whatever, fill in the blank that works for you. What is this thing trying to teach me? And especially when I started to realize that, you know, the people that were around me and what they were saying and the things that are coming to my awareness was really just the universe. It was spirit, source, again, whatever you want to call it. It was bringing this information from something that I was supposed to learn. That's why I kept getting the same patterns over and over and over again until I learned the thing. And so it really just comes down to what's the lesson in this thing and where's the growth? Because I think ultimately when you think of spirit, I mean, I define it in my own way as spirit is the life force, right? That resides in all things. And it's this invisible force because, you know, the definition of spiritual, you know, is from the root word of spirits, which means to breathe, means air, means that invisible life force, oxygen we all rely upon. We can't even frickin' see it. It's absolutely this invisible oxygen that you can breathe it in. It's the first sign of life, right? The baby's first breath. So we all hold our breath for to make sure that, you know, baby's alive. But then, you know, the same thing when it's time to pass, that last dying gasp is a very unique signature breath that if you ever heard it, I mean, you'll never forget it. And so because of this idea of inspiration, right? Respiration literally means to move spirit through the body, inspire in spirit, expire out, go spirit. So just breathe. You want to be spiritual? Practice breathing, learn to breathe, use your breath and just draw this air, this oxygen, this life force within you. You know, you can start there. Those breath work and breathing practices are usually a cornerstone of a lot of different spiritual disciplines and so forth. But I would definitely say connect to that life force within you and just recognize that it's all around you. You're connected to it and it's always bringing you information, giving you data, for lack of a better word, giving you a feeling. And what is this thing trying to teach you? And as soon as you can figure that out, that's where then we have to take action. And as we then do something about it, as we then take action and put things into the physical reality and start to augment, and we become the creator of our reality, and that's where the growth comes, right? And so literally every day we can do things physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that great overview of holistic health, what the heck it is, what it means. Tell me about where I can find more content from Holistic Research Academy.
Well, we are just getting started. And again, this is, for those of you listening, like this is our inaugural first podcast. So we're going to be developing podcasts. We're going to be working on holistic natural health videos. And all these things are available through the website. So doublehcare.org, that's www.doublehcare.org. But we just started the YouTube channel at Holistic Healthcare. And you'll know it because you'll see the heart tree, right? The heart tree logo is the Holistic Research Academy. So we just started to get our logo and our brand out. We've got the YouTube channel on Instagram. It's under Holistic Natural Care. Obviously, like most people, I'm on social media. So Dr. Jean-Paul Amante, DC, for Doctor of Chiropractic. And of course, between the websites, you can find me in clinical practice. So if you ever want to come in for a total body tune-up, a holistic body treatment, come on down to Virginia Beach. You can book or schedule an appointment. Or if you're interested in learning more about holistic health, you can do a consult. So you can just go to the website, doublehcare.org, schedule a consult. I can just set up a time. They can either be by phone or by video. So again, we're just getting started, so we'll be looking at different, either through Zoom or some type of video conference. Set up video or by phone. We can do consultations for holistic health. And, any questions that you have, I'm here as a resource. And more importantly, we're going to be focusing on good research. We're going to be publishing articles, developing these podcasts, developing these videos. And just hopefully over time, we're just going to gradually develop a library and hopefully help to network with other like-minded therapists, other like-minded doctors, because holistic is the way. And that's why this is the holistic way. But Dr. A, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Thank you very much.